Dublin's Talking Sport.
Welcome to Dublin's Talking Sports podcast with me, Ken Doherty, and my good friend, Reggie Corrigan. Thanks for tuning in to catch up on the latest GAA, football, rugby, and all the crack. Enjoy the show, and don't forget, rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Another great show for you this week. I'm joined by former Irish rugby international Victor Costello to preview the semi-final of this year's Heineken Cup Champions Cup as Leinster take on Toulouse in the Aviva Stadium. Declan Drake and Sean Lane are joined in studio by Brian Talty and former Dublin selector as they look ahead to Dublin versus Meath in the Leinster Football Championships. And Alan Cawley of Cawley's Call fame joins me to talk all things SSE and have a look as well at the FA Cup between Liverpool and Chelsea. So another great show for you this week. Make sure you download it now wherever you get your podcasts. Time to turn our attention to rugby now, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Victor Costello. Hello, Victor. How are you?
Morning, Reggie. Great, thanks.
Yes, good. Well, I'll tell you, it's an exciting weekend. It's come around again, and Leinster are in another semi-final, and it's sort of getting a feel to it, this whole Leinster versus Toulouse thing, and the history of it and everything else, and you and I have been involved in a lot of it over the years. It's come a long way where Leinster are now the favourites, taking on one of the powerhouses, but it's going to be a tough one today in Leinster, albeit the fact that they're at home in the Aviva.
Yeah, it will be a tough one, and both teams have come kind of a roundabout way. I mean, that match for Toulouse last week was an extremely grueling affair to watch, you know, for either side as well. And then if you go back to the early season, Montpellier disaster, where Leinster were docked that walkover, which subsequently ended up in two games against Connacht, you know, back-to-back, and the away one particularly being, you know, a get-out-of-jail for Leinster. So, you know, like every semi-final or final story, there's always an interesting road to get here. Both teams have been battled and bruised. But for my mind, Leinster, I think their freshness, their home advantage, the crowd, although not as vocal as the Munster crowd last weekend, I expect, will be there in force with the flag. So I think, you know, normally, if you go back, as you said, the year, sure, French teams over the decades don't travel well. And I think if Toulouse are reminded of that today by Leinster, I think it'll be an interesting game for Leinster.
Yeah, well, the record shows that in 2019, Leinster won the Aviva, and 2011, Leinster won the Aviva, and then in 2010, they lost away from home. So there's no doubt about it, that is a factor. But, you know, arguably, some of the greatest players in the world are currently in their rating, the likes of Antoine Dupont and Romain Entomac are playing for Toulouse, and I didn't think they really clicked last week. I thought they had quiet games by their standards, but there's real meat up front as well, lots of big strong forwards, Baye, Arnold, Elstad, Kroos, Jelonch, there's names go on and on, but they also seem to struggle a little bit when the, you know, the speed of the game and the way that Leinster play or will be playing the game came into it last week. We noticed it as well. They seem to run out of steam quite early. So what do you reckon? Are Leinster just going to be throwing this ball around everywhere, trying to just tire them out quickly?
I think Toulouse will shock. You know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, as if you throw a blanket over, you expect Leinster to win, but it ain't going to be easy. I mean, there's a couple of areas that will be threats for Leinster they need to concentrate on, which could be the game decider. You know, particularly the scrums. You'd know more about that than I would, but, you know, there seems to be a little bit inconsistency there. And as you go up the ranks of semi-finals and quarter-finals and so on, these areas of weakness, or if you can call them weakness, end up being a massive problem, a bigger problem as you go towards finals. So that's one area. But yes, there's a huge amount of talent. In actual fact, Munster had them on the ropes last week, and I think that's going to be the difference. If Toulouse are on the ropes, Leinster will be able to finish them off. They've got the skills, they've got the experience, and they've got the kind of hunger, the dominance that Munster used to have that are only getting back these days and probably into next year, next season. But there's no doubt about it. If you were worried about Toulouse and Toulouse were favourites, you would say they're vulnerable. They're definitely vulnerable, albeit they have a load of talent. And you talk about some of the greatest players. Some of the greatest players' sons are on that team, you know. Yeah. So, like, it's a lot of history there and a huge amount of development throughout the generation. So, you know, they're a massive threat. I think if you're an observer, it's going to be a fantastic game of rugby. But for Leinster, you know, Leinster have knocked around the finals of this European Cup now for the last 10, 15 years. I mean, you got to think they have the experience to know what it takes to beat to lose without being complacent. And I think complacency and potentially the scrums are the only, I suppose, weaknesses they may have. But still, definitely. I mean, if you look at what we were all doing last week, we're all watching the end of the Munster game without turning on to the Leinster game. And when you turn on to the Leinster game, the game was over. And that just shows you, you know, where Leinster are. I mean, they cruised into the last 40 minutes of that game against Leicester away from home in Welford Road, which is a tough place to play in any season, in any generation. And, you know, they cruised through it. They're well rested. Leo's management of his players, extended players, is like world class. You know, how he manages his coaching team, how he manages players, keeps on developing new players in South Africa. In actual fact, you could look at that Leinster performance last week, Reg, and say that Leinster are quite rusty. So they're going to be even better again today and potentially better if a final occurs. So you go that kind of management of players and, you know, resting players at the right time of the season. And, you know, when you wake up today in a sunny day, it's almost summertime. It's been a long season. It always is in professional sports. And, of course, this is the business end of the season. But our players in Leinster are actually fresh, which is incredible. And that's down to the management and management of the players, which is great.
Yeah. On your concerns about the scrum, I wouldn't have those. I'd be very happy about the scrum. It's a different front row that Toulouse are facing this week in Porter, Kelleher and Furlong. They're arguably one of the best front rows in the world at the minute. So I think the scrum last week, Munster did have serious pressure in the scrum, but they didn't have that quality that Leinster have. So I'm not worried about the scrum at all. I suppose the thing that you'd worry about with Toulouse for me would be the unknown element that they can bring when they just play that game where they throw the ball around without any, almost what looks like no plan, you know, where they're just playing off the cuff. That's when they do it. But I think what you're saying there about Leinster and the way they manage things at management level is incredible. But also on the pitch, their players just seem to have this knack. They did it against Leicester last week. You know, as you said, they were out the blocks and they were gone. They were uncatchable almost after 20 minutes. I just think that the players are just so savvy about how they manage these games. I think they'll just be too clever for Toulouse. That's my feeling of it.
Yeah, and it's definitely a breath of fresh air. I mean, if you look at the post-Joe Smith era, Robbie Henshaw, the form he's in at the moment is just back to his very, very best. You know, he probably suffered for a while in the Joe Smith era, up the middle, kind of one trick and injuries and so on. There's an element of freedom there. And as you say, that freedom gives capacity to manage the game on the fly. And, you know, that's why Leinster is so dangerous. And, you know, we could talk all day about this, but if you consider Toulouse coming over, if they went back, I mean, they left Dublin last, whatever it was, Saturday, they're back again. So there's probably two days of travel in their bones as well as everything else. But what would they be worried about playing Leinster? And, you know, they put up with a Munster home crowd last week. It ain't going to get any worse than that in terms of the 16th man per se, but there's so many threats around that Leinster team and on the bench as well. You know, you look at what the French team did to Ireland in the Six Nations. They scored early, and yet Ireland still had immense of talent and abundance of come home and nearly win the game. That's the type of mental strength Leinster have at home, plus an abundance of talent and abundance of confidence, and you know, as I said, threats everywhere in the pitch. Every man on that team is capable of turning a game. And that's an incredible way to be going into a semi-final, yeah, you know, at this stage of the season. So, you know, what they've got to worry about is a hell of a lot more than what Leinster got to worry about. But again, you know, these days, that kind of favourite tag sits well with Irish teams. It wouldn't have maybe done in the past, and that could have been a threat, but I think, you know, you're going to see a professional performance, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, Leinster, when you look at the team, the back row, Van der Fleer, he's on the form of his life, Van der Fleer is at the moment, and then you've got Caelan Doris as well and Conan, but in the back line in particular, I'm just looking at Jameson Gibson-Park. Again, his form is so high up there, and now he's up against DuPont, but DuPont's form was poor last week, you know, so it's like Jimmy O'Brien, who again is on fire, and Keane, especially the combination of Henshaw and Ringrose in the centre, with threats like Jimmy O'Brien, who again is on fire, and Keenan in the back row, and the finisher of Lowe. It's a pretty terrifying back line if you were sitting down as an opposition coach trying to analyse it, isn't it?
Absolutely, and on a dry day like today, you know, you'd normally say Toulouse is a running team, but in actual fact, Leinster can can run from anywhere. So it's going to come down. It's going to be, as I said, from an objective point of view, an absolute cracking game, hopefully. And I'll probably put the hex on it now we're saying that. But yes, I mean, you know, the competition for places, I mean, even Jimmy O'Brien there, playing out of a skin all the time because the competition for places. Kieran Frawley back in on the bench today, you know, again, centre, out half. There's such, again, an abundance of talent. And we always used to speak about Toulouse, oh, they've seven internationals on the bench and they can bring them all in. You know, Leinster are in a position where they've seven internationals on what we would call a B team, without being fair. So we're gone beyond that from a Leinster point of view. But again, you know, if you look at the last couple of years, there was a gulf in performance and possibly talent at semi-final and final levels where Leinster didn't get that desired fifth star. You know, I think that gulf has narrowed now. And I think today's performance, I think the management will be very much planning on a final performance here, like the best in Europe performance for Leinster. And nothing less will do because of the shortfalls, I guess, in the last couple of years. But, you know, certainly the mindset, the physicality, the freshness, the management of players. I think, you know, this is the penultimate game, but I can't see Leinster. I don't think I've ever seen him in such good shape. You know, mentally and physically for a game, and performances to back them up along the way. And you know, Reg, sometimes the harder ways to get to final makes that final performance that bit easier because you come a tough road, you finish the job. Munster did it for years, even back in AIL level back in the day. The harder road you had, it stood you when it came to final. And I think Leinster have all the ingredients to go all the way. But certainly I know Leo will be looking for to prove that in the performance today.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Okay, just interesting to note in the competition as well, Victor, that, you know, there's three French teams left in the semi-final stage and one Irish team. No English sides, never a sniff of a Welsh side. I'm trying to work out what that actually means. You know, I'm just a bit surprised there isn't an English side making a bigger push for it. When they talk about the Gallagher Premiership, they try and push it as being one of the best leagues in the world. But yet, at European level, which is the elite, they're just not able to compete.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the ebb and flow. There was a time when the English clubs were dominant and Wasps and so on, you know, and Leicester and obviously the French. It's great that there are French clubs, you know. Yep. We would have always argued in the past that their home competition was more important than European, and it probably is, but certainly they're performing European in the Champions Cup. But from an English point of view, I think they're just going through a kind of a trough in their home game and their international game. I'd like to think that will last, but generally it comes back up World Cup year, which of course is next year, which brings you to the point of, you know, outstanding performances in both club and country the year before World Cup is great, but you need to continue them on into the next season. But yeah, from an English point of view, it's strange not to see them knocking around, but it's great to be beating them, you know. So, you know, like, I mean, beating Leicester, I mean, again, I go back to last week. I mean, every person watching those games last weekend were kind of, you know, holding on to remote control just to see what Munster would do before they went over, thinking they wouldn't miss much. And to turn over to see Welford Road 17 points down, you know, Ellis Gaines complaining to the referee, the English team's back on our back foot. Dominant English teams in the last couple of decades. It's fantastic to see. So you might be. I'm not complaining about that, Reg. You know, it's an interesting observation, but I'm not really complaining about it because you look at the French teams. I mean, they're cracking French teams. Yeah. You know, La Rochelle, Racine, really old traditional Racine, particularly traditional European teams. Toulouse and Leinster in that mix. You know, an Irish province in that mix. Yeah. And the other journeys of the other Irish provinces weren't that bad. So, you know, generally, as four provinces, Ireland are up there in the mix. And, you know, we dearly love Leinster to finish that job this year, you know.
Absolutely. Well, just quickly, you mentioned La Rochelle there. Of course, there's an Irish interest in that with Ronan O'Gara being the coach there. He's done wonderfully well in his coaching career overseas. And there we are again in a semi-final with La Rochelle against Racing. Racing probably slight favourites, but just based on the fact that they've got the home advantage. But, you know, you look at what's going on in Munster, albeit they put in a gallant effort last week, but they still didn't cross the line. Coaching changes that are going on down there. I know Rog is not interested in coming back yet, but they should, it feels like they have to start pushing harder to get him back.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to Rog during the week, and certainly Declan Kidney's years of coaching has rubbed off him, because he's getting very cute in these interviews, not giving much away, and completely confusing. I think the best thing for Munster is Van Graan leaving, because he was leaving but still coached for the remainder of the games, which is an awful place to be as a player, because you're just running down the clock. And for Munster to come out that performance last week, and indeed the crowd, I mean, you know, you could feel the atmosphere, and even by not being there, you know, Zombie, everyone singing at half time. That Munster 16, man, the buy-in is there again. We complained it wasn't there a couple of weeks ago, but it seems to be back. So, I mean, without being harsh, exit the Van Graan years and let's move on. So the talk of Leamy going down there, obviously Leinster's been good to Dennis Leamy. That brings back that passion we spoke about, the homegrown passion, what the jersey means. You know, you want ultimately a Munster man running the Munster team, coach, management, the whole lot. I mean, that might sound wrong, right? Yeah. But I think it's really what reacts and what gets the best out of everyone down there. It makes Towan Park and Musgrave Park a cauldron that it is. Mm. So I see it turning. Yes, there were some good performances last week. They should have put it away. I mean, we all know if Rog was playing last week, it would have been game over with a drop goal or certainly the kicks. It's unfortunate for Healy, the missed opportunities. He'll learn from it and so on, and Munster will learn from it. But certainly from, you know, I can't see Rog leaving now and Prendergast, and, you know, there's a lot of talent out there. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, there will be an exodus out of Francis at some stage. But I can't see it immediate. Yeah. But I certainly think we've turned the corner for Munster Rugby, definitely with the clearing out of the Van Graan era. Start again with its round three, wherever else. Get the younger players blooded. Good experience last weekend. Just not their year, or, you know, not their couple of years, unfortunately. But next season, hopefully, it'll start to turn around them.
Massive weekend of Dublin GAA. Senior footballers, hurlers and camogie teams all in action over the course of the weekend in their respective championships. Delighted to be joined in the studio by my good friend, hurling analyst from Ballantyre St. John's, Sean Lane. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Declan. How are you doing?
Sure, listen, on a day like that, what would be wrong with you? And championship hurling to look forward to all weekend as well. And speaking of championship hurling, the big game, of course, is at Parnell Park this evening at 7 o'clock. Dublin taking on Kilkenny in their fourth game of the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship, looking to make it 4 from 4 and make serious progress in this year's championship. Now, we have a pair of tickets to give away to this evening's game at Parnell Park, and if you'd like to be there with a friend, you can enter the competition now. And the question is, what club is Dublin's top scorer Donal Burke from? What club is Donal Burke from? We had a link in the earlier section of the show to Jimmy Gray, if you were listening. I'm sure the club was mentioned more than once in that particular piece. But if you know the answer anyway, text us on 087 188 1068, or indeed you can WhatsApp us as well, and we will be announce the winners at the end of the programme, and indeed be in touch with you to organise the tickets as well. Something to look forward to there. Now, Sean, speaking of the big game, it is Dublin versus Kilkenny. It is our fourth game of the championship, looking to make it 4 from 4 and take a huge step towards this Leinster final 2022. But standing in our way are the provincial champions Kilkenny, who have the honour, if you want to use that expression, of being the only team to have beaten us competitively this year so far. So it's a big, big game for the lads tonight.
It is, Declan. It's a huge game, and you mentioned that the one game we lost all year was to Kilkenny, and you know, Declan, we really lost that game badly. They bullied us psychologically, they pushed us round on the field, we weren't in the game, and in a typical Kenny style, when they got a couple of opportunities to get goals, they got them, took them and put us away, and it's certainly Dublin will have to get to the pitch of this game very, very early on to have come out with a win.
We are where we want to be with 3 wins after 3 games. Now, the first one was a very narrow victory over Laois, as we know, followed it up with a stirring victory over Wexford away from home, which made it even more impressive with 14 men for a large period of the game. But the Westmeath game, we didn't win that perhaps as comfortably as we would have expected. Is that a measure of our of how much our expectancy level has grown about this team?
Yeah, I suppose, look at, you'd have to say, and I think you and me spoke about it earlier, when we saw the draw, we both looked at it and said, you know, if we can get as far as Kilkenny and beat them in Parnell Park, we'll be in a Leinster final, and that's where we'll be this evening if we win it. Dublin did enough, that's the way I'd put it, Declan, against Westmeath. They weren't good, but having said that, when Westmeath got a goal, Dublin did up, then they got 8 points out of the next nine. So, you know, it's a comprehensive win, they were never in doubt. But look, you know, it's all geared towards the game tonight. They're, you know, beating Laois, beating Westmeath, you wouldn't put too much mass on it. But then when you throw Wexford in the middle of it and you say they're 6 out of 6, we'd have all taken that, Declan, going way back to last January when we saw the draw. But I'll reiterate what I said, Dublin will have to be really up for the pitch of this from the very, very start.
And score goals to win it as well, you feel?
Absolutely. I mean, I won't go through the whole Kilkenny team, but I just looked at four of the forwards if they start. I mean, these are huge guys. I mean, you have TJ Reid, Walter Walsh, Owen Cody and Pádraig Walsh being played in the forwards. If the ball is played in the air, there's massive ball winners there in Kilkenny. But you're right. I mean, we're struggling to get goals from the inside forward line. If we get to 20 points or 21 or 22 today, Declan, it just won't be enough. We'll need to get to 221 or 222.
Very settled team all the year through. A couple of changes, okay, today for the game. Darragh Gray is at Whitehall. Colm Kill is amongst the changes today. But I'm just looking at the team, looking at the spine of it particularly. Very strong from Shawnee Brennan, Akula in goal, right to Ronan Hayes at the edge of the square and that as well. But Fergal Whiteley is back as well. And they need to get more out of the likes of him and Ronan Hayes.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, and young Mellet then is the other inside forward. Like if they typically give us 4 or 5 points between the three of them from play, I can tell you, Declan, we'll be beaten tonight. They need to, you know, they need to give us 1-9 or 2-7 or something like that from an inside forward, and add on whatever number of frees Burkey gets, plus he'll get a load himself. And the one good thing we do have, if we can get the goals, like Rian McBride and Conor Burke, the two Vincent's lads, they can chip in with 4 or 5 points. So can Danny Sutcliffe, give us a couple as well. So if we can get the two goals, and it won't be easy, that's a good backline, you know, Hugh Lawler and Paddy Deegan and young Carey. These are good players, but if we can, you know, get inside and get a couple of goals, I've no doubt we'll get the 20, 21 or 2 points to go with them.
Well, if you'd like to be there this evening at Parnell Park to see if Sean is right, we have 2 tickets to give away to the game this evening, and the question is, what club is Donald Burke, Dublin's top hurling scorer, from? What club is he from? Text or WhatsApp 087-188-1068 to be in with a chance to win those pair of tickets this evening. We're going to stay with the small ball game but switch to Camogie. Sean, it's a big day for the Dublin Senior Camogie team as they contest the Leinster Senior Championship final against Kilkenny. The game is at O'Moore Park in Port Laois with a 1:45 p.m. throw-in that precedes the Leinster round robin hurling game between Laois and Galway, and this is absolutely fantastic to see them playing on a big stage this afternoon. Dublin beat Westmeath in their previous outing in the competition, that was in Abbottstown, and looked to end a 35 year wait for a senior provincial title. No doubt, Sean, you were at that game 35 years ago.
No, Declan, I wasn't. But to be fair to the girls, I did look back last night before I came in, that Dublin Camogie, they won, I think, 32 or 33 Leinster Senior Championships in a row from about 1935 to 67. So that's an unbeaten record. Look, we had a look at them and we spoke about the girls. There's a new management team in Adrian O'Sullivan, Donny Fox, the Jude's guy pushing it from a coaching perspective. There's a young team there. They'll have their work cut out, Declan, to get past Katie Power and Grace Walsh and Denise Gall. These are household names. But look at, you know, they've had 2 good wins in the league. They're a little off the Kilkenny, Cork and Galway at the moment. But look, they're making progress and a really, really good performance. And to put it up to Kilkenny today, I think everybody would be happy with the young side.
Yeah, we wish everyone involved with the team every success down there this afternoon. 1:45 throw in at MW Hire O'Moore Park. Finally, Sean, in the hurling section, the draw for the go-ahead Dublin Senior 1 championship was made during the week. 2 groups in this. Defending champions Kilmacud Crokes have been drawn with Craig Kieran, Lucan Sars, St Vincent's and St Bridget's. While on the other side, Nafina, who may get you a little present later on. That's a clue. Last year's beaten finalists were drawn with St Jude's, Ballyboden, Oliver Plunkett's own Rua. Great to see them up there. And of course, former back-to-back All-Ireland club champions, Coola. Plenty of excitement when that draw came out on Thursday night, and plenty of quality games to look forward to as well, Sean.
Absolutely, Declan. And for anybody who doesn't know, that the old system was four groups of four, and the reason it was changed, every group had a weaker team, and there was some hidings. There's some mouthwatering. You know, Nafina, Bowden, Bowden, Coola, Coola, Nafina. I mean, I would fancy Nafina, Bowden, Coola to come out of that group. No disrespect to Jude's and Plunkett's. The other group's a little bit open, you know. Kieran's, Lucan, Bridget's, Vincent's, there's two spots going there out of four. I do believe Croke's will come through, but some of the mouthwatering fixtures that you'll see there. I mean, normally you might go to a lot of the round robin games, you'll wait for the knockout games because that's when they get really good. I can see every game in the senior championship this year will be a mouthwatering one, and I'll be certainly there for them all, Declan.
It will, of course, commence when the All-Ireland Series is complete. Vastly different to previous years where you'd play a couple of rounds in April, break for championship and come back into it then in maybe even October, as it was some years, because Dublin had one or two dual players at club level, including, of course, Con O'Callaghan of Coola. Sean, thank you very much indeed for your company this morning. No doubt we'll look forward to seeing you in Parnell Park a little bit later on from 7 o'clock this evening. That's Sean Lane there, our regular hurling analyst, giving us his insight on all things related to Dublin GAA. Unfortunately, we didn't get time in this section to mention the Dublin Miners, who lost to Offaly last weekend down in O'Connor Park in Tullamore. Right, Dublin's Talking Sport, Sunshine 106.8, will now turn its attention to Gaelic football. And the semi-finals of the Leinster Championship take place tomorrow afternoon at Croke Park. The big one from our perspective is the clash of Dublin and Meath. The Blues, impressive winners against Wexford last time out, back at HQ for the first time in Championship 2022. Delighted to be joined now on the line by former Galway star and a Dublin selector indeed in his time as well, the great Brian Talty from Parnells. A very good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Declan. How are you?
Very good. Thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning. It would be a little bit remiss of me, Tals, not to mention the birthday during the week as well. Belated happy birthday.
Thanks very much. We don't talk about those when you get to a certain age, Declan.
No, indeed. Tell me about it, Brian. Tell me about it. As I say, Dublin and Meath, the big one tomorrow afternoon at Croke Park. Perhaps it's lost a little bit of its shine over the years, but it's still a massive game, particularly for us Dubs.
Yeah, it's a massive game, and I suppose when it's Meath and Dublin, you know, that is massive. It's diminished a little bit, Declan, I suppose, over the years because of the dominance, I suppose, of Dublin in Leinster. But certainly I think Meath are getting a little bit better, and you know, we could have a fine game tomorrow. You know, it's Dublin are gone back a small little bit, and Meath are progressing a bit, so hopefully it'll be a good tight game. We had a good one last year, I suppose, the second half of that game, you know, when Meath came back into it and put up a fairly good performance in the second half. So I suppose we'll be hoping to get a more consistent performance this year and put it up to the Dubs.
Some very good positives from the victory over Wexford a couple of weeks ago down there. Obviously the return of Con O'Callaghan with his goal and six, and the return to something like the form we know he's capable of in Brian Fenton as well. They were just two positives from that win, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely huge. You know, Declan, I think the lads spent something like a week in Portugal. They ironed out a lot of issues from the league, and we got a really good performance. You know, work-wise, I think they worked really hard all over the field, and you see the likes of Fenton putting in huge tackles back in defence. You saw Cormac Costello going back into defence, and the work rate was up. The movement in the forward line was much better. But we have to look at Declan and say, you know, we played against a very naive Wexford team, to be honest with you, and their tactics were unbelievable. You know, they continued to kick the ball out to the middle of the field where Fenton was dominating, and they put no marker on Fenton as well, and he ended up scoring 5 points. So I think Meath will be tactically an awful lot more aware. You know, when you look at the likes of Andy McEntee, great knowledge of Dublin football as well, and then you have Colm Nally from Balbriggan, who's their coach. They have huge knowledge of Dublin, and tactically I think, as I said, they'll be a lot more aware than Wexford were.
Yeah, I for one, can't believe that Wexford actually beat Offaly, to be honest with you. I was a big surprise. Just, I mean, how bad Offaly must have been that particular afternoon against Wexford. But that is not our concern. As they say, our concern is Meath tomorrow. And please God, we can get over the line and qualify for the Leinster final. On the other side of it, Brian, who do you fancy to come through to hopefully play the Blues on the 28th of May?
Well, we've been looking all year, I suppose, at the performance of Kildare, and I would expect Kildare to come through. But having said that, if you looked at last year's Leinster semi-final between both teams, Westmead should really have won that game. But I think Kildare have moved on an awful lot and playing really well. And if Dublin do get through, I think they're the big challenge. But I think Meath, Declan, I think the Meath-Dublin game will be a very interesting game tomorrow, especially if Meath's conditioning has improved again a little bit from last year and they could really put it up to Dublin.
Yeah, so you're expecting a Dublin win, but maybe just to push on maybe in the last 10 minutes or so and win it from there, Brian.
Yeah, well, look, like Declan, we know over the years that Dublin have actually picked players who suit playing in Croke Park, you know, and their conditioning and their pace. Sometimes we look at James McCarthy after 70 minutes still being able to sprint up the field, the same with the likes of Fenton. And, you know, as you said earlier on, the addition of Conor Callaghan, you know, makes everything tick up on that forward line. I expect Dublin to win, and I'm hoping that Meath put up a big performance and we have a really good game.
I know that you're very interested in the underage system in the county as well, and the Dublin Miners had a great win over Offaly, 213-24 in the semi-final last week. Joe Quigley and David Mulqueen with the goals. Now they are out in the Leinster final next Wednesday in Armour Park, Portlaoise, against Kildare. That's a repeat, of course, of the under 20 final, which unfortunately didn't go our way. But we have a good crop of young fellas at this age group, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely, and putting up huge performances. And Declan, I suppose the big thing is they're putting up big scores as well. And, you know, manager Davy Reynolds has done a massive job with them. It's amazing. I see them I work in Abbottstown, as you know, and I see them coming in there. The work that they do is unbelievable. But this is going on all over the country, I suppose, Declan, with minor teams and development squads now. But Dublin have done a really good job with this minor team. And, you know, the only thing is Kildare are working really hard as well, and you can see their performances at underage level has been fantastic as well. And as you said, they're under 20s now, are in an All-Ireland final as well and playing great football. So it'll be a tight one, but you know, hopefully the lads will come out on top.
It's what we need in Leinster, isn't it? It's very strong Kildare and Meath to bounce back as well to make it interesting. Brian, before we finish, just wanted to get your thoughts briefly. We spoke to Sean on the hurling side about the championship draw that was made during the week. The football draw was made as well, of course. And Kilmacud Crokes, the defending champions, have drawn Raheny, newly promoted Temple Oak, Sing Street and Ballantyre St John's. Not a bad draw for the purple and gold.
No, not really, to be honest with you. I think I'd be looking at it from the Raheny perspective, to be honest with you, Declan, and hoping that they will come out second in that group. But yeah, it's not a bad group really for Kilmacud. It'll give them a chance to get themselves up and going again, and you know, they're going to be favourites for the championship again this year.
And the other side of the draw are the groups. St Jude's, last year's beaten finalists, have Skerry's Harps, Thomas Davis, who are having a fantastic Division 1 in the Adult Football League, drew at Ballyboden during the week, and an Afianna for company in that group as well. So plenty of quality club championship matches to look forward to, Brian, if and when the All-Ireland Series is complete from our perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at the draw, Decky, this is the tough one, really. Like, I mean, two are going to come out of this, and you know, you'd be expecting the ones like Jude's have been in county finals, Davis's have been in the county final, Afianna have been in the county final, and Skerry's in the middle. But you'd expect it's going to come from Jude's, Thomas Davis, and Afianna. But which of them get through? That's the interesting group for me.
Time to turn our attention to football now. Joined on the line by Alan Cawley. Good morning, Al. How are you?
I'm good, Reggie. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thanks. Wonderful indeed. It's a lovely day out there, and some great football coming up this weekend as well. And there was last night as well. You were in Talla last night, were you, for that cracking game against Rovers and Derry City?
Yeah, brilliant game, Reggie. And I suppose it wasn't a result that Derry deserved. They were absolutely brilliant on the night, but I think the one thing we saw last night was with Shamrock Rovers and them being champions, they did what champions do. And despite not playing well, Reggie, they still ground out a result. And that was a massive result as well. And I think what it just kind of indicated just at the moment in terms of the title race, everybody is obviously hoping Derry can sustain some sort of title race. But if you compare both benches last night, that's the difference between where Shamrock Rovers are compared to all the other teams. The strength and depth is frightening. And when you think you're bringing a player of the calibre of Danny Mandrew off the bench, and not just because he got the goal, but Danny Mandrew was one of the best players in the league, Reggie. And when you're bringing the likes of him off the bench, Dylan Watts, they're nearly making you better when they come on. And it's very, very hard for an opposition team after putting so much into the game. And you see those two coming on. And Derry, unfortunately, just kind of fell foul to maybe just a little bit of lack of concentration just at that moment in time when they allowed, I think it was Andy Lyons cutting side, gets the shot, Mandrea was there to tap it in. So disappointing night for Derry, but they can take huge positives just in terms of where they're at and the progression that they've, and the direction that they're going in, Reggie, because with the squad at the moment that they have, obviously Roy Higgins will look to add to it, and I think they will challenge Shamrock Rovers over the next 2 or 3 years, but at the moment Shamrock Rovers are out in front.
You were there too, Declan. Similar opinion?
Yeah, very similar indeed. Yeah, Al talks about the strength of the bench, Rovers bench, and he's right, because this week Rovers have played two teams from the northwest, picked up 6 points, and the bench contributed massively. Stephen Bradley made 4 changes at halftime on Monday against Sligo. Graham Burke comes off the bench, scores a hat-trick, and as Al said, Danny Mandrao comes off the bench and scores for them last night. So it's a phenomenal strength and depth that they have there, and that's going to be a key asset to them, I think, as the season progresses.
Alan Dundalk did well too, creeping nicely up the table into third position now. Good win, 3-1 over Bowes.
Yeah, great win, Reggie, especially the fella goal behind Kieran Kelly score for Bohemians. And it was a big win for them as well, because they slipped up last week. Stevie O'Donnell, he was getting a lot of praise and they've been going about their business nicely, but he would have been disappointed drawing with UCD last week had been 2-0 up. But they bounced back in good fashion last night, Reggie, and especially, as I say, falling a goal behind, but they came back and won 3-1. There's a great goal if you see it doing the rounds. Keith Ward plays a brilliant pass. I think Robbie Benson scored the goal, but there was a brilliant team move, and it's worth checking out, Reggie. It was a great goal. But Stephen O'Donnell, to be fair to him, a lot of people, myself included, thought he was crazy leaving St. Pat's and going back to Dundalk, which looked like a much tougher job in terms of a rebuild than what he had at St. Pat's. But he's going about his business lovely, and they're ticking away nicely there, sitting in third place. And if they're to finish in third, I think that'll be a successful season for them, and do something similar to what Stevie did at Pat's in his first season, qualify for Europe, and then look to build on that and strengthen. And who knows, maybe a year or two we might have them challenging Shamrock Rovers as well, Reggie.
Yeah, and just a point between the two of them, Pat's and Dundalk at this stage, 25 and 24 respectively. Shelburne, again another win for them against Drogheda, and everything moving in the right direction, and that's an important one for them because it takes them that bit further away from that third bottom position where Drogheda are now.
Yeah, big win. It puts them in the hunt, I suppose, for the positions where they would feel they should be, kind of mid-table, closing in on, I suppose, the coattails of teams in third and fourth. And it's amazing, couple of wins bounces you up the table, Reggie. And I watched them last week, probably their best performance of the season, beating Sligo Rovers. But it was important that they follow it up, and they did last night against a team who obviously Drogheda are on a bad run of form at the moment, so they would have been hoping to follow up and expected to follow up. But it's all right wanting that, but you have to go out and deliver on the pitch, and they did that last night. So Sean Boyd getting another goal, and as I say, it's looking positive for them at the moment. Now, in a position where I expected them to be, Reggie, and where they should be, really, I think mid-table. And again, talking about maybe what Derry are looking to do, what Dundalk are looking to do. If Shelburne finish mid-table and just establish themselves back in the Premier Division and look to build on that for next year, then that'll be a good season for them.
Absolutely. Okay, good roundup there on the SSE. Of course, it is English FA Cup final day across the water. We've spoken about it many times. Historically, for us, this would be a big day, Alan. We would have remembered it growing up. It's not quite at the level that it once was, but with the two teams that are in it, you know, Liverpool taking on Chelsea, and Liverpool going after that quadruple, it should be a cracking game. We'd have to put Liverpool there as favourites, but Chelsea are going through a few bits and pieces at the minute, but it still lines up that it's going to be, or should be, a very, very good game of football later this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm a similar vintage as yourself, Reggie and Declan, and I was the same. Those glory days of watching Match of the Day and the build up to the FA Cup final used to be the best day of the year. Sadly, it's just not the same now, and I don't think it's far the better that it's not the same, because the FA Cup is such a magical competition. But this is where we are now, unfortunately. But it still should be an absolute cracker, Reggie. I'm looking forward to the game. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I probably would have fancied Liverpool really, really strongly. But to be fair to Chelsea, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've picked up a lot. Looks like they've sorted out a few of the off-the-field issues. Obviously, a new owner looks like he's coming in. The players look a bit more content with that, where there was a lot of uncertainty around their futures, obviously, a few weeks ago. So, and they've picked up on the pitch as well. So I think it'll be a lot closer than what it may have been 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Declan?
Yeah, really looking forward to it, Reg.
Tipped them at the start of the year.
Sorry, Alan, we just lost you there for a second. Go on, finish it out.
Sorry, Reggie. Yeah, brilliant. And I actually tipped him at the start of the year to be challenger for the league. And we all know what happened mainly around Christmas time, where that tailed off, and then the uncertainty of all the off the field issues. But they're a very, very, very good team with a very good squad of players. So I think it will be a lot tighter. But I still expect Liverpool to get the job done. And when you think of what Liverpool have done so far this season, even though they've only won one trophy yet, but if you were to set out at the start of the year and someone said, every game that's available to play, we will play it, that's a phenomenal achievement in itself. And to top it off with a little bit of silverware, obviously to have the Carabao Cup, but they will want maybe an FA Cup or maybe both, because I think the league is gone now. So I do fancy Liverpool, but I think it'll be a lot tighter than what it may have been 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, Declan, your thoughts on it?
I think Al's service provider, maybe Chelsea's shirt sponsor, getting cut off there. Yeah, really looking forward to it. I think it has the ability to go all the way. Liverpool won, of course, the Carabao Cup on penalties. I wouldn't be too surprised if it went the distance this evening there either, to be honest with you. I think disappointed, of course, it's a 4:45 kickoff in 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. It was so traditional and all the rest. But look, life moves on and football is no different.
Yeah, well, it suits me grand, because I'll be watching the rugby at 3 o'clock, so I get to watch both, so I'm not complaining at all. It was you mentioned, interestingly enough there, Alan, that the league is gone. City, very strong performance during the week, 5-1, and West Ham to come. So that's your belief, it's just they're not going to slip up?
Not now, I don't think, Reggie. If they were going to slip up, I felt it would have been last weekend, coming off the back of the Real Madrid result. But the fact that Liverpool played the night before, last Saturday night, and slipped up themselves, I felt that let City off the hook a little bit. Because had Liverpool beaten Spurs, coming off the back of the disappointing, especially the way they went out, Man City, and then gone into the game on Sunday against Newcastle, I felt they would have been under serious pressure, and there was a possibility that they may slip up. As I say, the fact that Liverpool didn't get the job done against Spurs, it kind of let them off a little bit, City, and then we all know what happened. They obviously went out and were brilliant, and they were very good during the week against Wolves as well. So I can't see them slipping up now, Reggie. I did think if there was going to be a slip up, it would have been last weekend, but that didn't materialise.
Yeah, I suppose, Declan, you probably feel the same way about it.
Yeah, absolutely. City were outstanding against Wolves. Since I turned it off at 3-1 and turned over to the Chelsea-Leeds game. They're a phenomenal club, Manchester City, phenomenal team. And of course, they've signed Haaland now as well. So imagine what they're going to be like next year.
Yeah, that Haaland signing was an interesting one, wasn't it? I mean, what is he, only 22 or something like that, I think? And he's kind of been bred for this level. Big money, though. You know, he's going to have to produce the goods.
I'll tell you what he is. He's a monster. That's what he is, yeah. Reggie. And signing him on top of what they have already, when you think of what they've achieved, obviously, and look like they're going to win their 4th Premier League in 5 years, without a recognised striker this year as such, with Aguero gone, it's just phenomenal, that signing. And that was the one area where I felt against Real Madrid, despite them being so dominant and the amount of chances they had, had they had Harry Kane maybe, the likes of a Haaland, I felt they would have got the job done. So as much as Pep is very stubborn in his ways and he does it his way, and who could argue with him in terms of the football to play, and without that recognised striker, they've been so good. But I do feel in those big, massive games, Champions League, semi-finals, finals, you do need an out-and-out striker, the likes of a Kane or Haaland of that quality. Benzema, you see what he's doing with Real Madrid. Liverpool with Salah or Mane. I felt that's where they just fell a little bit short. So the signing of Haaland, it's only going to make them stronger, Reggie, and it's just looking ominous for the rest as well, because when you think of how strong Liverpool are and the squad they have, and now City signing Haaland as well, the gap to the rest is only widening, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, as equally important as who's going to win it is who's going to go down. And bottom of that table, there's an absolute dogfight going on. Leeds, Everton, Burnley, really coming down to the wire.
Yeah, I think Leeds are in bigger trouble. But the only thing, in the only slight saving grace that they may have is the fact that their two games are against teams with nothing really to play for, and both at home, Brighton tomorrow, obviously, and Brentford next week. So they've got themselves in a position where maybe 6 months ago, if someone had to say, look, you come down to the last two games and these are the two you play to stay up, they may have taken it, Reggie, to be honest with you. But I think their form has been very, very bad. And not only is it bad, when you're getting players sent off for a lack of discipline as well, Daniel James, during the week, you're giving yourself no chance. So it's huge, massive two games for them. Burnley are obviously against Spurs, so you think Spurs will win that because Spurs were good during the week and they're still fighting for fourth. So it may come down to next weekend, Reggie, even the last to shootout with Burnley and Leeds. I think Everton will be fine, but I would worry for Leeds, even though they're playing two teams, as I say, with nothing to play for. I just think their form and the concession of goals, they've conceded 77 goals. It's a disgrace, really, the amount of goals they've conceded. And I don't just kind of attribute that to Jesse Marsh. I go back to Bielsa's days when he was managing as well earlier in the season, and they're taking on the likes of Man City and Liverpool and going toe-to-toe with them and losing 6-7 and 4-5. Crazy stuff, really, when you think of the players that they have. So they found themselves in a very, very obviously dangerous position, and I think they could be doomed. As much as it pains me to say that, because I'd have a soft spot for Leeds, haven't been over there, but I just think it's just a too big of an ask maybe to get out of it now, the position they're in.
Yeah, well, it certainly would be very disappointing for them if that were to be the case. I think there's a lot of Leeds supporters in this country who would be, so disappointed to see them going back down again. Anyway, we'll have to wait and see. Time will tell on that one. What's happening with the podcast this week, Alan?
Yeah, well, we had Jimmy Brown on during the week, Reggie. So the last couple of weeks have been great now. So I'm just lining up this week's guest. But it's what I'm kind of focusing on for the next month is a lot of the lads who've obviously gone over from the league are home for their summer holidays. So I'm hoping to get Jamie McGrath on this week. But the likes of those lads, if I can do a month of lads just catching up with where they're at and how they're going. Even I saw Declan tell you Gavin Bazunu up in Tala last night as well. It's great to see the lads back at matches as well under some summer holidays, so because they can never really forget what this league has given them and the opportunities it's given them, and that should never be forgotten either, you know.
Thanks for listening to Dublin Stock and Sport on Sunshine 106.8 from myself, Ken, and Reggie. Have a good weekend.